As you study these disciples, you realize mockery didn't stop them. You will probably find yourself being mocked for what you believe. If people know about what you believe, eventually you will be mocked for it. Whether you know it or not, people are mocking what you believe. They're mocking it on news channels. They're mocking it on TV shows. They're mocking it in movies. Mocking it on social media. And it's not you that they're mocking. They're mocking your Savior. They're mocking Jesus Christ. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1, what do you do about it? Look at this story. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, we've read this chapter a couple different times. I'm going to read through it again, and we're going to move quickly this evening. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Look at verse 13. Others, mocking, said, These men are full of new wine. What an amazing story here. They are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They're sharing the gospel. People are listening, and there's still those in the crowd that are saying and mocking, These men are full of new wine. Look at down to verse 22, if you would. I'm sorry, verse 15. No, I'm sorry. Verse 14. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but not yet. Right after that, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. And Peter continues to preach a message to them from the prophet Joel. Now to skip over to verse 22, I want you to see the results of this. Here's basically it's this. They were mocked, but it didn't stop them. They were mocked, but they kept preaching the wonderful works of God. Look at verse 22. This is Peter preaching still. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now, what if Peter had stopped preaching? What if the disciples, whenever they were getting mocked, had said, I don't know that I want to deal with this. You know, I don't know that I like being mocked. You hurt my feelings. Now, Peter just went on. He just kept talking, and he preached to them. He even went so far to say, you knew Jesus. You knew he was a man approved of God, and you crucified him. God raised him from the dead. Now look at verse number 36. Chapter 2, verse 36. He keeps preaching this message. You can read the whole thing later if you want to. Verse 36, Peter continues preaching. He says, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do. I'm so glad Peter kept preaching. I'm so glad he didn't stop whenever the mocking started. Look at verse number 41. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Because the disciples didn't stop. Even when they were being mocked, they kept preaching and people got saved. Look at verse 43. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. God worked and God continued to work in this situation. And I believe it is because the apostles and the pastors, the leaders here, the disciples, the word I'm trying to get out, the disciples didn't stop when the mockery started. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God worked. And God continued to work. And I believe the reason He continued to work in this particular setting is because the disciples just didn't stop. Mockery came up. People in the crowd started mocking them for being drunk, but they kept preaching. The disciples, think about this, had just a few moments before experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. They were in that upper room. They had obeyed Jesus' confusing command to stay in Jerusalem until they had received the power that He had promised them. It didn't make sense. Jesus said, go back to Jerusalem, stay there. That wasn't even where they lived. Go back to Jerusalem, stay there until I give you power. They'd done that. They'd obeyed. I can picture them stepping out of that upper room excitedly. And they're getting ready to preach the gospel. They'd just been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and it was an obvious thing. And I can just picture them saying, now, Jesus said to wait here until we were filled with His power, and then to go start preaching the gospel around the world. Let's go. Where should we start? Well, how about right outside? Can you picture them just stepping outside and beginning to share the gospel and to preach like Peter was doing? As they began preaching, they were shocked to realize that people from more than 12 regions were hearing and understanding in their own languages. They didn't know what to expect, and they see this happening. They're preaching the gospel, and people from all these different languages, they're understanding. You can tell when people are understanding. If you're a preacher, you can tell. You can tell if they're listening. Did you hear that? You can tell if they're listening. So you can tell if people are understanding. You can see it in their eyes. You can see if they're nodding or they're you can tell if people are with you. You know, when you, those of you that like to tell jokes, you can tell when somebody's with you. You're trying to tell a joke and they're just kind of like, they get that dazed kind of look in their eyes. Like, oh, I lost them a while ago. That happens often from up here. And so here's the people preaching. They're seeing people are getting it, even though it's different languages. God's power was evident. Jesus had come through for them again. He'd kept His promise on their first day of obeying the Great Commission. They're already beginning to see the world reached with the gospel because people are hearing. And then from somewhere in the crowd, the mockery started. Those Jesus followers are drunk. Hey, you guys got an early start on drinking again, didn't you? You know, that heckler that's out in the crowd, the one that's going to try to stop them from what they were doing, the one that's going to try to embarrass them, mocking them. Maybe somebody from the other side, that's a bunch of not, no, that's not in the Bible here, but just go with me. That's a bunch of nonsense, you Bible thumpers. Okay, so they didn't even have a Bible back then. You scroll thumpers, whatever. You get the idea. These men are being mocked. The mockery starts. I don't know how many people were in on this, but the Bible says there were people there started to mock them. And here's the question. Did the disciples quit? Did they back off? Did they get discouraged? As far as we could tell, no. I mean, they may have been discouraged a bit on the inside, because whenever you're doing something great for God, it seems like God is working, and then somebody seems to come out of nowhere and say, yeah, try to bless me. I dare you. Try to teach me something. Try to encourage me. Maybe they were discouraged on the inside, but they didn't stop. They turned their attention to the mockers and kept doing what Jesus had commanded them to do. This is the key. They kept doing what Jesus had commanded them to do. They just kept on doing it. Now, Peter actually turned to the mockers and he addressed them. These are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. He's answering the mockery. You don't always have to. In this case, Peter did. You will be mocked for being a follower of Jesus Christ. You will be mocked for believing in heaven and hell. You will be mocked. If you haven't been mocked yet, the right people haven't found out what you believe yet. You will be mocked for loading your family in the car and going to church. You will be mocked for being a soul winner. Yesterday, I got to go with my son Jonathan and another Jonathan that was here this morning. We were out soul winning. We knocked on a man's screen door, and he answered the door. I asked him if I could give him a track. He said, no. I said, oh, I'll just leave it on your door. He said, get that, and he cussed me off my door. And I know what's in that. It's the scriptures. It's the words of God. And he didn't know what it was. He just probably didn't want me bothering him. But I left that, and I said, whoa. And we looked at each other kind of like, whoa, and thinking, you know, I'm glad that doesn't happen very often. It doesn't, really. If you go soul winning and knock on doors, you realize it doesn't happen nearly as much I don't know if it's our location. People are just kind of friendly here. I've been other places where it's been rough. I mean, really rough. But if you go soul winning, you're going to be mocked. You'll be mocked for reading the King James Version. And unfortunately, it's usually by other Christians. You'll be mocked for living by high moral standards. But that's okay. You're in good company. And I want you to get this tonight. If you are mocked for being a Christian, you are in good company. Because some of the greatest heroes of the Bible were mocked, and they didn't allow mockery to stop them from doing what God wanted them to do. We're going to look at some of those tonight. We're going to go quick because there's a bunch of them. Think about Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. Joseph was mocked by who? His brothers. His own brothers. He's rebuked by his father. Joseph had a dream in Genesis 37:5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. They hated him before, but now they hate him even more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed," is Genesis 37:7. "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright." Joseph, I almost called him Joshua. Joseph is, he's a teenager. Probably not even 17 years old yet. He was 17 when he was sold into slavery. He's a kid. He has this dream. I dreamed we were binding sheaves. They're cutting down wheat or barley, and they're tying them together, laying them down. And he said, "My sheaf in my dream rose up, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." They're bowing down. "Your sheaves are bowing down to my sheaf." He said, I had this dream. No, I don't know how he said it. I don't know if there's other words said, but he told them his dream. And what do his brothers do in verse 8? "And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. He didn't let the mockery discourage him. He had another dream. Pretty much the same thing. Except it was the sun and the moon and the stars. And they did obeisance to me. And his brothers mocked him. His brothers made fun of him. His brothers put him down. His dad even rebuked him for doing that. But the Bible says he kept that. He thought about those words. David, think about him. Another situation where he's mocked by his older brother. So Goliath of Gath, right, he's 9.5 feet tall, about. He's been mocking the armies of God, mocking the Israelites, mocking King Saul. And they're fighting this battle, and David's dad, Jesse, sends him with some bread and some cheese. "Here, take this to your brothers. Take it to their captain and see how they're doing." And David does that, and he goes, and he takes the bread, and he takes the cheese, and just like a care package, he wants to give that to his brothers that are fighting there in the army. He hears about Goliath. He hears about the giant that's coming down and mocking the children of God. He hears about him. And he asks about him. He says, "What? How come nobody's killing this guy? How come nobody goes out to fight this guy, Goliath?" And they say things like, "Well, he's huge. He comes out every day and he mocks us. He mocks our God." And then David says, "What would happen to the man that does kill him?" And they give him the answer. "Well, the king said that he's going to give him these things. He's going to give him these treasures. He's going to give him these rewards. And he's even going to give him his daughter in marriage. The man that kills this giant, he's going to be honored by the king." And David said something along the lines of, "Well, why don't you do it? Why don't I do it?" His brother Eliab, verse 28, is 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David." Wait a minute. David just brought him bread and cheese. David just brought him this care package from home. David's just asking these questions. And Eliab is mad at his little brother. And he says, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness, you little punk?" Okay, that's not in there, but I can see that. "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." He's mocking David. You can't do anything about this. You're just a little shepherd taking care of a few little sheep. Who'd you even leave those with anyway? And you just came there. You just wanted to see a battle. And right after that, David says this famous verse, "Is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason?" And David goes out. You know the story. He's brought before King Saul, and King Saul gives him his armor. And he says, "I can't go with this armor." David eventually goes out with his slingshot, his bag of 5 smooth stones, and his staff, his stick. All right? And somebody else mocks him. Not only did his brothers mock him, but now Goliath mocks him. Now, what do you do when you're being mocked and threatened by a nearly 10-foot bully in battle armor? I mean, Goliath, you think 10 feet tall, you might think like this the string bean of a guy just really tall. I don't picture that. I'm picturing, I mean, this guy is a warrior. He's a soldier. He's the champion of their army, not just their mascot. He's the champion. And he's the one that goes out and scares the other armies into surrendering. Goliath is huge. What do you do when you're being bullied by that guy? Do you remember that joke? Where does a 1,000-pound gorilla sit? You know the answer to that? Anywhere it wants to, right? You just give in. You just let him, this big old 10-foot bully comes and starts mocking you. What do you say? I mean, you've challenged him and, oh, I'm sorry, you're right, my bad. Sure, go ahead, I'll just show myself to the door. That's not what David did. Goliath is mocking God, and now Goliath is mocking David. 1 Samuel 17:42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, now remember what David's coming to fight him with. First of all, David's a kid. He's got his sling, and he's got his stones, and he's got his stick, right? And you picture this little kid going up to this giant of a man, and Goliath says this. He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. 1 Samuel 17, verse 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Remember the stick he's carrying? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Goliath wasn't a cuddly big guy, right? He's not this giant of a teddy bear. No, he's going to kill David. He's going to kill anybody he can find. He's a warrior. And he's cursing David. He's mad. He's upset to think that the army of the Israelites sent this boy to fight him. What an insult. He's thinking, give me a good battle. Give me someone I can really fight against. And he's upset. And the Philistine said to David, 1 Samuel 17:44, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. I'm going to rip you limb from limb, and I'm going to feed you to the birds and the coyotes or whatever they have out there. Jackals. I'm going to kill you. He's mocking him. He's mocking David. You know the rest of the story. David takes his sling. He runs toward him. He slings his sling and he hits him right in the, my little brother used to call it, right in the Philistine. And he hits him right in the forehead. Goliath falls down. David grabs the sword, cuts the guy's head off. He's dead. You know, he's dead. He doesn't have a head. David wins the battle. What would have happened though? And here's the challenge for this is, I know this is a simple message, but it's a message we need to hear. What would have happened if David would have turned back when his brothers mocked him? Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, I'm just a little kid. I'll go back to the sheep. What would have happened if he would have turned back when Goliath mocked him? There's a man named Nehemiah. God put on Nehemiah's heart to build a wall around Jerusalem. It had been destroyed. And Nehemiah went to the king. You know the story. I won't go into all of it. He went to the king, asked for permission, got permission, and he came. And he was building the wall around Jerusalem as the kind of like the mayor, the governor, the kind of the guy in charge of this building project. And he came, he led this project, and he started building this wall. Now you've got to remember, Nebuchadnezzar had come, he had destroyed the wall, and not just destroyed it, he burned the gates, knocked down the wall, destroyed the city. Nehemiah was coming back to build that wall up. As he began building the wall, some people helped him, but some people started mocking him. I want you to hear that. It's in the book of Nehemiah. It's in chapter 2. There's two guys specifically that were mocking Nehemiah. One was named Sanballat, and the other was named Tobiah. You've probably heard of these guys, but I want you to see how they're mocking him. But most of all, I want you to see Nehemiah's response. Because somebody's going to mock you when you're trying to do something for God. And I want to challenge you, just keep doing what God told you to do. Don't stop. Just keep doing it, even if you get mocked. Maybe it's a friend that mocks, and you find out they're really not your friend. Maybe it's somebody you go to school with. Maybe somebody that you work with. Maybe it's a family member, an older brother, sister, cousin, parent, uncle. Somebody is more than likely at some time going to mock you because you want to serve God. My challenge to you is this, just keep doing what God told you to do. You don't necessarily even have to respond to the mockery. Let God take care of that, but Just keep doing what God told you to do. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. Remember, Nehemiah came to build the wall, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. They heard we're building a wall, now they're laughing at us. How many of you just love it when somebody laughs at you? I don't. That makes me mad. It hurts my feelings. It makes me want to cry, right? No, it just really it just makes me mad. If somebody starts laughing, if I'm trying to do something and I'm serious about it, now there's sometimes people laugh at you, that's fine, it's funny because we're all laughing. But sometimes you're trying to do something serious and somebody laughs at you, you know, that mean kind of way. Not like this is fun, but you loser. You're never going to accomplish anything. And they laugh at, this is what's happening. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then I answered them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. And they go on and build. They just keep on building. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they're laughing at us. They're mocking us, but we're just going to keep on building. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. They're building the wall through several chapters here. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. He is so mad, he's going to do something about it. And took great indignation and mocked the Jews. We don't have all the details of how he mocked the Jews, but we've got a little piece of it here in verse 2. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was with him. Sanballat does his best to discourage him. He's mocking him. He's making fun of him. That's Sanballat. Then Tobiah happens to be with him. He's a sidekick. He's the servant, all right? He's the one that he tries to throw in another insult just to add a little bit more to what what Sanballat said. And here he is in verse number 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. What a weak little stone wall. What a dumb stone wall. Even if a fox walked on the wall, it's going to fall down. They're mocking them. They're trying to discourage them. But look what happens in chapter 4, verse 6. How did Nehemiah respond? So we built the wall. They just kept on going. They were being mocked for what they were doing for God. They just kept on going. You're going to be mocked for what you do for God. The challenge to that is simple. Just keep going. You may be dealing with it now. You may have come to church tonight having dealt with somebody mocking you today. Listen, just realize you just keep on going. Just keep doing it. Just keep building the wall. God will bless that. How about Samson? Okay, so Samson's resume wasn't perfect, right? He messed up. We understand that. But right there at the end of his life, he's been captured. They shaved his head. They gouged out his eyes. He's blind. He's hopeless. He's a prisoner in the dungeons of the Philistines. They're even using him like an animal, pushing the I forget what you'd call it, the grain thing that squishes grain and turns it into flour. All right, the millstone. He's pushing that around, and they're using him like an ox or a donkey, just like an animal. And then the leaders of the Philistines in Judges chapter 16, verse 25, they get this idea. Hey, we got this big party scheduled. Let's bring Samson and we'll put him up on the stage and we'll make fun of him. I mean, we captured him. Let's bring him over there. He caused us so much trouble. Let's bring him in. So Judges 16:25, it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house. And he made them sport. They're making fun of him. And they set him between the pillars. Oops. Now, they didn't know what was going to happen. But they brought him to mock him. They didn't bring him to give him a second chance. They brought him to mock him. Judges 16:30, and Samson said, I'm skipped a few verses there, but he said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. They brought him there to mock him. And Samson died. And probably I don't know this for sure, but probably as a consequence for his bad decisions, which he made a lot of them. But he didn't let their mockery stop him. He didn't cower and say, okay, you're right, I'm just a loser, I'm never going to do it. He said, I'm going to do something. I can't do much, but I can do something. I'm going to do the last thing I can do. And he died there. Elisha was mocked by a group of disrespectful young people. He cursed them and God took care of them. The Bible says God sent out 2 she-bears in terror, 42 of them. The Old Testament prophets were mocked. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused the prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old men, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. The Old Testament prophets, you can read about them. They're mocked, they're abused. Think about Jeremiah being cast into the mire of the dungeon, and they were abused, and God said, I'm going to take care of them. They just kept on going. They kept doing right. And the last example, we'll go to Matthew chapter 27. I want you to see this. We're done. Matthew chapter 27. And this ought to be the ultimate example for us and the ultimate challenge for us because it's our Savior. Matthew chapter 27, verse 39, Jesus is on the cross. He's dying for our sins. He's dying for the sins of the whole world. And as he is on the cross, Matthew 27, verse 39 says this, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Can you picture that? I don't even know that I can do a good head wag. They're making fun of him. I don't even know. Maybe it was a cultural thing that they did, wagging their heads at him. They're making fun of him. They're going by. They're seeing Jesus on the cross. They're making fun of him. They're reviling him. They're wagging their heads at him, and they're saying things. Verse 40, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Can you hear them yelling at the Savior? You healed others. Can't even save yourself. You say you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. Verse 41, likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe him right in front of him. Saying these things to mock him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. If God would even accept him. They believed that he was a blasphemer, that he was just a man that said he was the Son of God. And so it makes sense for them to say, God probably wouldn't even accept him anyway. They're saying that to God. And verse 44, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. People are walking by, making fun of the Savior, mocking the Savior. And on both sides, there's thieves that are also making fun of. Can you imagine? You're dying, being crucified, making fun of the guy next to you that's being crucified. I can't even imagine that. Now, we do know that one of them had a change of heart, and he asked Jesus, he said, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And what a great story that is. But even our Savior was mocked. You will be mocked. I don't remember the exact words. I don't remember the exact verse. But Jesus said, why would it be any different? Why should the servant expect less than the master? They mocked me. They persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. In every case, God's people were mocked, but they just kept doing what was right. The disciples at Pentecost were mocked, but they kept preaching, and thousands of people got saved and baptized that same day. Joseph was mocked by his brothers, but he kept a good testimony. Nehemiah was mocked, but he finished building the wall. Samson was mocked, but he pushed down the pillars and won a victory for the nation of Israel. Elisha was mocked, but he kept on walking to Bethel. The Old Testament, that was personal. Go up, thou baldy. Go up, thou bald head. I mean, it's personal. They were mocking him, making fun of him personally. And he just, I don't know what he said. The Bible says he turned and cursed them, kept on going. God took care of it. The Old Testament prophets were mocked and persecuted, but they kept preaching, thus saith the Lord. They just kept at it. Jesus was mocked, but he stayed on the cross. He paid for their sins. And while he was there, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't stop. None of them let mockery stop them. From the disciples all the way to the example of Jesus on the cross, they were mocked. In some cases, tortured. Some cases, killed. But they just kept doing what God had told them to do. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be mocked. You got to understand that. Christianity is not just for people to enjoy life. And there's great joy that comes with being a Christian. There's great peace that comes with being a Christian. But there's also the mockery. There's also the standing up for what you believe and other people making fun of you. Listen, it's going to happen. Just don't let it stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Just keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Maybe somebody at work that believes differently than you. They may be a very high-powered individual that makes lots of money, and they mock you because they don't need your God. Just keep on doing what God said to do. Just keep doing right. Father, I pray that you would use this message this evening to help Christians to continue to serve you. Lord, I know that mockery comes. It's happened in my life, but not nearly as much as it's happened in so many other Christians' life. Lord, there are people around this world tonight who are dying for what they believe. I pray that you would help us to just keep doing right, even if we're mocked. If we're out sharing the gospel and somebody mocks us, Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to keep sharing the gospel. If a family member mocks us for doing right, Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to keep doing right. If a neighbor mocks us for being a Christian, Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to keep living like a Christian, keep raising our family in church. Lord, I pray that you just encourage our hearts tonight. Help us to have that foundational desire just to keep on serving you no matter what happens.